Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc.
If today is a sunny summer afternoon in 1913, the events I shall share with you occurred 50 years ago to the day. And, were it possible I should be here 100 years hence, I believe my recollection would be just as vivid, just as sterling. So indelibly are those events stamped on the coinage of my brain.
Stephen Lang is a Tony Award-nominated American actor and playwright who is also well-known for his film work, including his roles as George E. Pickett in Gettysburg, Stonewall Jackson in Gods and Generals, Colonel Quaritch in Avatar, and many, many others. This Sunday at 4 p.m., the Chatham Film Club and the Columbia County Historical Society present an exciting combination of theater, film, and music that tells the story of the Battle of Gettysburg during this, the year of its sesquicentennial, through the eyes of Union officer and Medal of Honor winner James Jackson Perman. The program features a one-man show written and performed by Stephen Lang. Original music, composed by Robert Kessler and performed by virtuoso double bassist Timothy Cobb, and the screening of the short film The Wheat Field, written and performed by Stephen Lang and directed by filmmakers Alexander and Adrian Smith. The program is hosted by historian Harold Holzer and includes a Q&A at the conclusion. Stephen Lang joins us now to tell us more. Mr. Lang, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You were in the films Gettysburg and Gods and Generals, and now you're working on this project. I know you work a lot with the Gettysburg Foundation. Where did your interest in the Civil War and the Battle of Gettysburg originate?
Well, it grew. It kind of grew with the telling, I guess. I think when I was a boy, I visited Gettysburg, and it made an impression on me, went with my family. But then it really was my interest in the Civil War just grew kind of exponentially, as it did with so many people when I read Michael Schaar's great book, The Killer Angels, which is the Battle of Gettysburg. And I had always determined that I would, if they ever made a movie of it, I had to be in it, and I had to be General Pickett. And it was just one of those, you know, wonderful things in life that happened to work out for me. And so ever since we did that film back in 92, I've been drawn back to Gettysburg on a number of occasions, and until I really feel a connection with the place. And so that's how it all came about, I guess.
What was it about Union officer James Jackson Perman that inspired you to develop this work around his story? And how did he first come across your path?
Well, I had been involved in dramatizing Medal of Honor recipient stories from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. And then about 5 years ago, when they opened the new visitor center in Gettysburg, they asked me if I would perform something. So I basically took that format, knowing that so many Medals of Honor were presented, were awarded for action at Gettysburg. And I started reading some of the histories of recipients. And Perman's just knocked me out because, for a number of reasons, most of which had to do with the fact that his life was saved by a Confederate officer. And so just the sheer symmetry, ironic symmetry of these guys just shooting at each other, trying to kill each other, and then your enemy saving your life just struck me as emblematic of not only, you know, the Battle of Gettysburg, but of the entire Civil War. And then further than that, he had his leg amputated on the 4th of July, 1863, and he ended up marrying a daughter of Gettysburg, a woman who nursed him back to health. So there was sort of a beautiful element of romance in the story as well. So that was the one I chose. I could easily have chosen any of hundreds of others because there are so many stories to tell, but that was the one I chose.
How long did it take you to, once you decided to choose his story, to develop the show and then the film you're presenting this weekend?
Well, the piece itself runs 18 minutes long, and it's drawn from his own words, it's drawn from newspaper articles, and it's drawn from my imagination. In other words, I'm not really painting, I'm not presenting a photograph of Perman, I'm painting a picture of him. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's truthful and authentic, but, you know, it's there's dramatic license taken in the telling.
Of course.
Question of it. And that it came together rather quickly because I think I had a deadline.
Oh.
And there's nothing like a deadline to get things working. And I did it when we opened the Visitor Center, and I loved doing the piece. And I think I'd done it two or three times since then, maybe two more times at various occasions. And then this year was going to be the sesquicentennial, the 150th anniversary of the battle. And I knew I was going to be asked to do something there. And I knew, well, I can do the wheat field. But I thought, let's add something to it. And I had just worked with these two young animators who were just graduating from Parsons Art School in New York, the Smith brothers, identical twins. And I had done the voice for Alexander Smith's senior thesis film. I did it at the behest of my daughter, Gracie. And then I saw the film. I did it as a favor, and when I saw the film, I was blown away by this guy's style. And he works in tandem with his brother. And so I called them, and I said, you know, let's have a meeting. I want you guys. I think we're going to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in August of 2012, preparing for July of 2013. And I told them what I wanted to do, and I took the script that I, the dramatic script, the theater piece that I do, and I turned it into a film, turned it into a 10-minute film. And these guys spent 10 months animating it, and we made it into the animated film, The Wheat Field. And then when it came time in July to premiere this whole thing, we turned it into an evening of, first I did the dramatic piece, and then we showed the film, and this was what we had, musical interludes, because the music, which was composed by a good friend of mine, Robert Kessler, it was performed by Tim Cobb, who's the first double bassist at the Metropolitan Opera, and he's a virtuoso, and he came down and he performed live as interludes between the film and the theater, and his performance in his own right was extraordinary. And the whole evening was wrapped together by Harold Holzer, who is a great historian, one of the leading Lincoln scholars in the world, but also a remarkable raconteur, just a great, great MC. And so it turned into this evening. It's about an hour, 10 minutes. We put in a Q&A at the end because people are curious. And so it's a little bit of theater. It's a little bit of film. It's a little bit of music. And it's a little bit of history via Harold. And so it all kind of adds up to be what I think is an illuminating and really, really entertaining hour and 10 minutes.
I was fortunate enough to get to see the film. You sent me the link so that I could watch it, so I could know a little bit more about what we were talking about before
mm-hmm.
we spoke. And it is, as you said, it's just under 10 minutes. It is incredibly moving and affecting what is fit into that short and personal telling, which I think is a testament to, of course, the animation style, which you recognized, and your writing. So congratulations on how affecting and beautiful that film is.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you. I appreciate it. I think the story itself is, I think if I had, probably the smartest thing I did was to choose this story and to tell it in a, let it be told in a simple fashion. You know, the some of the most moving images of the Civil War were not taken during the war. They were taken 50 years later at the grand reunion on the 50th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. The government brought all the survivors to Gettysburg, and there were thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see old newsreels and many photographs of these old codgers kind of carrying their canes as they charge across the field, and they meet, you know, at the stone wall, and they all shake hands. And it will really bring you to tears. And that's where the film is set. It's a film of remembering.
Right. You've said set the film there and even have a sort of wink or recognition where you, as Perman, say, and if I were fortunate enough to be here 100 years from now, which is, of course, now.
I'm glad you saw that, because I'm very pleased with that, yeah. Because when we actually performed it, that's exactly the case. If I were to be here 100 years from now, which, of course, we are,
mm-hmm.
my memory would be just as sterling. Yeah, it's a nice piece. It gives me great pleasure to do it, and I wanted to do it one more time. Because this is the year, you know, this is the 150th anniversary, and I think after this we'll retire it. and, you know, put the film out on the internet so that it can be seen. But I doubt we'll be doing, you know, this performance with the music and the theater anymore. But where I live, up in Columbia County, we have the beautiful Crandall Theater in Chatham,
mm-hmm.
and they suggested maybe we could do an event. And so I love the Columbia County Historical Society, and I love the Crandall Theater, the Chatham Film Club, and so we decided to do a benefit that would benefit both of them. And so you come, and for whatever it is, it doesn't cost a lot if you come in, and you can have an hour and 10 minutes of theater and music and film and history.
You mentioned Robert Kessler, your friend who composed the music. How you said he's a friend of yours. How do you approach a friend to work on something like this with you?
Well, Robert and I have is a sound engineer as well as a composer, and I've done many, many recorded books on tape with Robert. But when I was doing my solo show, Beyond Glory, which is about the Medal of Honor recipients from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, I'd heard some of the incidental music that Robert had composed for some of these audiobooks, and I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that he was a composer, so I asked him if he would compose for the theater. And he did, and he was delighted to do it, and I was very delighted with the result. And so when it came time to do the music for this film, I said, will you do this? And he said, absolutely. And I said, I hear this. I want this music to come right out of the earth itself, out of the ground of Gettysburg. And that's why I want it scored for a solo double bass. And he said, okay, but do you mind if I if I do other things too? And I've long since learned to just say, do whatever you're going to do, and we'll talk about it later.
You know? Sure. Yeah. You do record a number of audiobooks. And I was wondering how that kind of work comes to you, when you began doing it, and if you enjoy it.
I got called many, many years ago. I was doing A Few Good Men on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
and I just got a call from an agent. So they're interested in doing an audiobook. And they weren't, although they were happening then, they were just kind of, that industry was, I think, just kind of really getting rolling. And this was like in 89 or 90. And I said, sure. And it was a military book, so it seemed a natural fit to him. And I went in and I did it, and I was efficient, and I did it, you know, pretty quickly, and I liked doing it, and I've always liked reading aloud, and so it turned into a thing where I began doing them, and over the years I've probably done, I have no idea, but certainly over 100, maybe 150, although I don't do them as often as I used to. But I still like doing it. Many, many I had done with Robert Kessler, who has a beautiful studio up in Westchester, very near where I used to live. So it was, I always like going to work there. It's good. I like telling stories, and even if they're somebody else's stories.
You, of course, are a stage actor and film actor. Do you have a preference between the two mediums?
No, I just feel fortunate that I'm able to jump back and forth, and either known for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I recently realized that I hadn't been on stage in 6 years in any substantial way, and it kind of freaked me out, because the idea of me going 6 years without doing a play was a little, I never would have entertained that. And so I went out on tour. I went out for 6 weeks on tour with my own play, and that cured me of being on the stage for a while. No, it was great. It was great, and I think that probably as I keep going on in my career, I'm going to continue to try to balance a little between doing stage, film, and television.
What are you working on next?
Well, I'm going to go. We're going to take Beyond Glory, my solo show, to the Middle East on a military tour for a couple of weeks in January, and then. I'll do a kind of some indies and stuff. Basically, I'm going back to work on Avatar.
Right.
I've signed to do three Avatar sequels, which we start production on. They're in pre-production now, and we'll begin filming in 2014. So for the next, I don't know, year or so, 18 months or 2 years, I think a lot of my time will be spent on the planet of Pandora.
Right.
Leaping around with under the direction of Jim Cameron.
He is directing all the sequels? I should know that, but I
yes,
didn't realize.
He's directing all of them, because he's directing them all at once.
Oh,
it
right.
It should
okay.
be quite an affair.
Yeah, I bet.
That's all I could tell you.
I imagine it must be fairly satisfying to have been acting, to be an actor, performer, writer, director, as you are, and to be able to do something like a one-man show about Gettysburg, and then to jump around on the imaginary planet of Pandora also.
Yeah, I'm very, very fortunate, but one hand really kind of washes the other. I think that I know for a fact that Avatar would never have happened for me had I not been doing my solo show Beyond Glory, because it was an ad, a photo in the Times that Jim Cameron saw of me, and I was looking strack, I was looking real military.
Right.
And he went, huh? And he remembered an audition I had done years ago for Aliens, in which I almost got the part, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, maybe this is the one. And it worked out. So, one feeds the other in very mysterious ways, seems to me.
This Sunday at 4 p.m., the Chatham Film Club and Columbia County Historical Society present The Wheat Field at the Crandall Theater in Chatham, New York. Stephen Lang, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me on.
Once again, the Chatham Film Club and the Columbia County Historical Society present The Wheat Field at the Crandall Theater in Chatham, New York, this Sunday at 4 p.m. More information is available on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.